welcome to Comadres y Comics. We are here in the OG recording studio where we record our Las Pláticas, and we are recording Las Pláticas 4.0 today, and we have our esteemed guest today, Peter Maliney, who you might know from various things in Los Angeles County. If you are anyone who knows anything about comics and Latinos in Los Angeles, you know Peter is the owner of Nostalgic Books in
San Gabriel.
San Gabriel. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know why I always want to say Pomona.
Yeah. I mean, the same area, right? I don't know. I don't know. If that question doesn't give it away, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he also is a creator himself. He has created recently Gordo, the Teenage Flying Saucer. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited to check that out. And the main reason he is here today is he is also co-founder of East LA Cape, which I always forget what the Cape stands for, but it's very pertinent to what we talk about here on Comadres y Comics. But Cape is Comic Art and Pulp Culture Expo. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
So, formerly known as East LA Comic Con. So, welcome,
well, thank
Peter,
you.
To Comadres y Comics and our Las Pláticas here, in our studio. Thank you for making, those of you who might not know, we record in two different studios. One's in Burbank, but the, original one is in Compton. So, Peter came all the way out from San Gabriel, and if any of you know anything about Los Angeles geography, that is a
Trek. Yeah. It wasn't too bad.
Oh, I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah. You didn't get caught up in traffic?
No, it was actually surprisingly empty considering the time, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
really?
Good.
That's great. I'm so glad. I was really worried. I'm like, oh man, we're making him come all
down here.
No, I always give everyone the choice to call in to come, but I always get excited when they choose to come.
Me too, definitely.
So, we generally do a beer review, and I don't know how we want to do it, if we want to start off with it, or if we want to just do it in the middle.
Let's just do it.
Okay, so we have a monster of a can here in front of us that has actually traveled all the way from Utah. So, my husband Eddie, he went to a local Utah Comic-Con called Wasatch County, I believe, convention back in April. Oh, yeah, because the date's on here, April. Yeah, so Wasatch Comic-Con.
That's such a Utah name.
So he discovered it one night after the convention. A fan of his came, was like, hey, I want to take you out for a beer, and took him to a brewery called A. Fisher Brewery, and it is in Salt Lake. And he went and was like just discovering the lay of the land, I guess, over there, and was really surprised that they had craft breweries because of the fact that Utah is pretty strict on their alcohol laws. Yes, so
okay.
She told me some of them, and I was just like, I'm sorry, but I can't do that.
Yeah, so most beers in Utah have a low alcohol content because of the strict liquor laws, and mostly that's because of the very large Mormon influence over there. Mm-hmm. But grocery stores can only sell beer and wine that is 4% or less.
Wow.
You might as well be drinking water.
Yes, and hard alcohol can only be sold in bars or state-run liquor stores, and the people running the state-run liquor stores are police officers.
What?
Whoa.
Yes.
That was going to be one of my questions. So it's like scotch and like bourbon and rum just like outright outlawed in Utah?
No.
You can't even get it?
No, you can get it, but you have to buy it from a state-run place or from like a bar that is very strict. Apparently, you know how here you can go to a restaurant that is also a bar, mm-hmm. but there you can't. You have to be 21 years or older in any any location that sells alcohol. Even on the site of this brewery, A. Fisher Brewery, it says 21 and over, no exceptions whatsoever. And one of the things I really think is cool about the local breweries here around where we live is, like, it's a family thing. You go, you can take your kids, there's, like,
take your dog,
cornhole, and, like, all kinds of other games, and the kids always running around having fun, and, a lot of pets, and, what do you call it, food trucks. So, it's a really different vibe. The craft brewery, scene definitely, I think, is a different vibe, over there in Utah.
You make it sound like they were running, like, illicit, what's the name?
Like a brothel?
No, not a brothel. The 40s when...
Oh, Prohibition.
Yeah.
Interesting that you say that because, this brewery actually has a very long history in Salt Lake. It was originally founded in 1884 in Salt Lake City by a German immigrant, Albert Fischer. And it closed down when Prohibition started. And then when it ended, it came back up, but it didn't really do much. And it wasn't until, and they folded actually in 1967. So, I mean, I guess they stayed around for a while, but it wasn't until 2017 when the great-great-grandson of Albert Fisher, the original founder, revived it and reopened and actually did a Kickstarter for the actual tap room.
Oh, wow.
So, so this brewery actually has a long history in Utah. And we are today going to be drinking their Witness beer, and I put an emphasis on wit because it is a wit beer. It is a wheat beer, and it is only 4%.
Okay, no, like, when Kristen first pulled the crawler out of her bag, I was just like, you did not bring me Miller Lite.
No, it looks Miller.
It looked like a Miller Lite bottle.
It does, it's a golden hue bottle.
With the red, like, logo and stuff like that. I was just like, that's not Miller Lite. It's like, who are you and what have you done to Kristen?
So, we're gonna try this today. It is 4%. This is a crowler that was filled on April 27th. It has our little, the little date right there on it. And, it says, that you actually, in Utah, make and sell beer. It does have higher content, but it can only be sold in bottles. Anything that's on tap must be 4% or lower.
That's so terrible.
I know, I'm a little sad, but I'm excited to taste it just because of the history.
So, when I actually was looking it up to try to get some information on it, there were people who were taking pictures of their pours, and it was pretty, like, the coloring was nice.
Ooh! Oh.
It was pretty hazy. So, now it's all over me. And it smells straight up like Miller Lite.
No way.
Yeah, when she opened it, I was just like, I know that smell. I know that smell very well.
I'll just pass it around. Yeah,
just pass it around.
Pass it around like a Miller Lite bottle.
Yeah, pass the, what is it called? Pass the, it looks like a 40.
Look at it, is so light.
It's very interesting.
Usually a wit beer is pretty hazy because of the high, the high wheat content, and
I can see through it.
Now, as you noticed, there's a penis on the board, and that's actually how we rate our beers, as you guys know. Let's go ahead and take a sip and see what's up.
Okay. I kind of can smell a flavor in there. I haven't tasted it yet, but I'm just still smelling it. And I can kind of smell that there's flavor in it, but it's very faint.
It's water.
Oh my gosh. It is so watery.
It's basically water.
It is so watery. And there is a faint taste.
There's a tiny
taste. Like, it's supposed to be beer, and someone, like, started making beer and then chickened out at the last minute.
The idea of beer. It's like they took Miller Lite and poured it in water.
Something funny, I was looking at the website, and it was talking about the fact that their hours, and it tonight, which is a Thursday night, they close at midnight. And I was like, what? Oh my gosh, they close at midnight. The brewery across the street from where I live closes at 9. Right. Even on Saturdays, Fridays, they close at 9 o'clock, and it's a Thursday today, and they close at midnight, and Jen says, they have to stay open later because you have to be there all that time just to get a bus.
I know, I was just about to say that. Oh my gosh.
Well, so if you are interested in going to try very light, watery beer when you're in Utah,
Utah's the place to go, apparently.
You can find a Fisher Brewery at 320 West 800 South, Salt Lake City, Utah. Their phone number is 801-487-BEER. And I just really feel sad for people who, but you know what? Eddie was saying that he did go to some places where he was drinking like porters and stouts and that it was like quote unquote real beer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe he was drinking it out of a bottle.
Maybe. Yeah.
He has to, if they're going to be darker, they must have been out of a bottle.
Yeah.
I think once he realized that the tab was only 4%, time to only order bottles.
I mean, I love draft beer, and to only drink 4%, ugh. All right, so what are your thoughts, Peter? I know you said you weren't really a beer drinker, but...
I really am. Like, it all tastes the same to me.
We love your honesty. Yeah. Well, guys, you know what? I think they got this better than this.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
So, I agree.
I'm going to have to go flaccid. I'm sorry.
Yep.
But thank you, Eddie, for the beer.
Thank you, Eddie, for the beer. Yeah, no, thank you so much. Flaccid.
Well, I thought it was really kind of cool to have a beer from another state and somewhere that, a brewery that he...
Where sadness exists.
And he was afraid to bring it back. He's like, isn't it going to explode? It's going to get beer where I was like, I brought like 12 bottles back from Oregon, from Portland once. It was fine.
I brought beer from Guatemala. They made the trip.
Right.
It was a little dented, but it was fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Even that beer tasted a lot better than that.
Yes, it did. What was it? The Estrella?
No, El Gallo.
El Gallo.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I really liked that one.
Yeah, that was really good, actually. Yeah. So yes, guys, this is Sarah, and I'm doing a flaccid on this one. I mean, it's fresh. It is very fresh and crisp, but there's very light flavor, and it tastes a little bit too much like water.
Yes, very, very watery.
Like, I need it to taste like beer.
It tastes like... Yeah, someone put ice in it,
yes,
and then let the ice melt. Yeah,
exactly.
So this is Kristen. I also am going to give it a flaccid. I don't even know that I would be, like, this is not even refreshing to me.
Okay.
Not at all.
Yeah. This is Jen, and I'm also giving it a flaccid, and the only reason I knocked it back was because I was thirsty.
Right?
It's basically water.
I mean,
so
what's less
than
flaccid? I'm giving it a vagina.
I'm giving it shrinkage.
Hey, at least a vagina has more nerve endings. So.
That's true. The vagina is too high of a praise for it.
Yeah. Yes. I'd have to say shrinkage. Like, yeah. Like coming out of a pool or something.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So that was our beer review for today. I had to get it in there.
Okay, so Peter, we really want you to talk all about East LA Cape and spread the word and get as many people there as possible. But before we start doing that, I want you to talk a little bit to our audience about how and what you do in the comic book industry outside of East LA Cape. We know that you are a local comic shop retailer and creator. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got all into that and how being Latino has directly affected your career?
That's interesting. Yeah, so I've been reading comics a long time. I think we started, me and my dad started like a year before the death of Superman.
Oh, okay.
And that's when it really blew up. Yeah. And it was kind of crazy.
Did you buy like 50 copies yeah. And like, no, no, did no, you no. and your dad plan to retire no, no, no. on your 50 copies?
Yeah, that was that time, right?
Yeah, that was that time.
And you know, it's funny, I don't think I ever told you this, but when they did the Return of Superman, we were moving at the time.
Uh-huh.
So we were kind of worried that we were going to be able to get them. We actually pre-ordered them from Heidi Ho Comics.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, look at that. A connection.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob and Mark, who are the original mm-hmm. owners, have so much history and knowledge of the inception of LCSs, mm-hmm. especially in Los Angeles, but in California, in general, and just like, they were like, the forefront of, like, they did everything first before mm-hmm. everyone else just because they started so early. And so it's always interesting to hear how much of an influence they had on so yeah, many yeah. of the people and who are much, in the industry now.
And how much knowledge they have, too.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So see, yeah. Heidi Ho Comics, yeah. way back in way the back day, like, yeah. had something to do with mm-hmm. the fact that this little Latino boy grew up to have his own local comic shop over in San Gabriel.
But yeah, it was always something I really got into it. I got into comics because I wasn't a strong reader.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a way of, like, you know, over the summer, trying to get me to read a little extra, you know.
Right, yeah.
And it just kind of took over my life after that. And
I love that.
Yeah. And then all through high school, I feel like if anyone that's really into comics, they all have that ambition of, like, I want to draw a comic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can't draw for anything. You know? Like, and so, so then it became a thing where, like, you know, I wanted to write comics, and then I wanted to work in a comic book store. So I thought that was, like, the coolest job ever.
Right? that's my dream job.
Sarah!
I mean...
It is!
I mean, it's not that it's not. I mean, there's just things that you don't realize that come with the job.
Yeah, that's what Christian has been teaching me these years. Like, it's not just fun and games. There's a lot of
things
in it.
Yeah. There's a lot of customer service you're going to mm-hmm. have to do in... What, yesterday?
Yeah.
Christ. Yeah,
but yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I really got into comics early on, and then I worked in a comic book store in college, my first year of college. I did that for about 4 years.
Really?
Up until that store closed. Like, I if it was still there, I'd probably still be working there. You know? Like,
wow, that's awesome. What city was that in?
That was in Monterey Park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so it was walking distance from the house, kind of. I didn't have a car at the time, so I had to walk, right? Yeah.
When did it close? Was it during the 90s crash?
No, it closed in 2007, I think.
Okay. 2007?
Yeah, it was around there. Mm-hmm. And... Yes, I would have stayed there forever, but then I even tried to buy it at one point, but fell through. And then I started working, just like day jobs, working in offices, you know, doing the clerical work and stuff like that. And the thing about that was it was really boring.
Yeah.
God, yes.
But, yeah. But it paid better than the comic book store, yes. So yeah. I was like, yeah. But I did that for a while, and it got to a point where, like, they wanted to hire me on full time.
Mm.
So I kind of had to make a decision at that point. And so I was like, all right, I'll do it. And then what ended up happening was a week before Christmas, they laid off all of us.
Oh,
yeah. That a week before Christmas?
I remember
oh my God,
that's
wow,
horrible.
That's not cool.
So it was a week before Christmas, they laid us all off. And then, I was like, at that point, it was back in the day when you can go on unemployment for like 2 years. Like, that was before.
Good old days.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And so I remember telling my girlfriend, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do it. I'm gonna go on unemployment. I'm gonna try to make this comic thing work.
Uh-huh.
If it doesn't work in 2 years, then I'll get a job. Like, okay, you know. And when I started doing that, and it was crazy. Like, at first, I had a list of people that wanted books. I was able to get them books.
Mm-hmm.
But I was literally selling comics out of the back of the car for like a little
That's
while.
That's so cool.
Like the tamale man.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're the comic book man.
Yeah.
Like, Latinos are consistent
yes.
in their endeavors into retail.
That is so amazing though. Like, I hear so many stories of people that start off like that. Like,
no.
You know, they start off like, you know, driving around or selling him off, you know, and that's amazing.
Swap meets a lot.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Swap meets too, yeah.
The store that we visited in my hometown, DJ Collectibles, Cards and Collectibles, started selling out in swap meets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, it was really funny because, like, so the guy I used to get the books from, there was a hat, the restaurant, the hat.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Like, down the street from him. So what I would do is I'd go pick up the book from him, I would drive down to the hat, order lunch, sit outside with a short box, and people would come up,
and they
knew I was there. I would tell them I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
That is awesome. You'd like, I have the goods.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that is so cool.
That is the best origin story of an LCS I've ever heard.
That is amazing. Oh my God. I mean, we're laughing and stuff, but that is super amazing. I am so in awe of your endeavor, of your story, of your origin.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Like, and so then what happened was that the store I own now, the original owner, like, he heard about like this guy that sells comics out of the back of the car, right? And it was so weird. He had a store, but the thing was that it's in this like small little neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, what happened was he had a bigger store and it closed down. And it was cheaper to rent this store than to put all that stuff in storage.
Oh wow! Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. So he opened the store, but it was never open. Like, he lived around the corner.
Uh-huh.
So he put his phone number. You'd call him and he'd come and open the store.
Dang, this is getting better and better.
Oh my God.
And the thing is, the guy, he worked for NASA.
Oh wow.
Like, he was an engineer for NASA. So what's it called? We got to talking and then he just asked me, do you want to run my store? And I'm like, all right. And then we were only open 3 days a week.
Oh my goodness.
For like a year.
Right? Wow. Wow.
And it just kept going that way. Until
I wish we were only. Yeah. Right.
and it went that for like a year, went like that. And then eventually he just got too busy.
Yeah.
And he finally told me, he's like, I'm closing the store. Mm. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy it from you. Mm-hmm. I bought the store from him and I've been running it ever since. And that was 7 years ago.
Wow.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's so amazing. That is the coolest story. That is so cool.
But yeah, it was crazy. And so then the thing was, he wanted to stick around, the original owner. So he let me pay it off over 5 years, like, with no interest or anything. He just wanted...
Nice!
He just
that
wanted...
Great!
He wanted an excuse to come down
right.
the store.
That's
basically what it was, right?
He wanted to see that it was still open.
Yeah,
right. Running it, yeah.
So we did that, and then when I finally... I didn't realize I had paid it off. And so that was... When that happened, I remember calling my friends. I was like, all right, it's time to do a convention now. Like, I paid off the store. Mm-hmm. I have extra money now. Let's uh-huh. figure this out, you know? And that's how that whole thing started.
Oh, wow.
That is so cool. Yeah. Oh, my God. You're, like, amazing. Wow.
And so from owning a shop and mm-hmm. running a shop, and obviously that led into... the expo, but you also is the book that you mm-hmm. are doing right now, is that the first thing and
yeah.
the first one that you've done?
It's official comic book. Like, I've done zines and stuff
okay.
in the past.
Okay.
But that's like the first time we went into like self-publishing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a little scary. Like, you know, and especially because we planned it to release at CAPE.
Oh, okay.
Which turns out you shouldn't do that.
Right.
You
know, like, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, it really was. It ended up being a lot more work than we realized.
Yeah.
You know? But it was really cool. And I'm working with Miguel Acero.
Oh, yes.
You know.
From Ponor.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've known him forever. And
we are just such huge fans of Ponor. And just the stories are
the
new.
Art.
They're just retail. They're not just retellings of Edgar Allan Poe stories. They're like amazingly, reinterpreted stories. And then the art is just awesome. But
yeah, and it also teaches some history of like in certain areas of the stories. And I'm just like I learned about Dodger Stadium through.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't know anything about that, so I was like really shocked. that was actually part of our history.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one of the reasons I told you.
You didn't know about the Chavez Ravine?
No, I didn't.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know.
That's like one of the first history lessons I got when I was in middle school.
I didn't get that
Sarah
at all.
Was sick that day. So that's all to say that's like an amazing person to be able to collaborate
and
with.
And it's really interesting because like the book we're working on is the complete opposite. Yeah. Like it's an all ages like kids book.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's something that we've always talked about doing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, the one thing we really do have in common is a lot is that we like those old like 60s Silver Age comic books.
Oh, cool. Okay.
You know, and that's kind of what we're trying to do with this book.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So, Latinx comic creators and retailers are definitely not in the majority in mm-hmm. the industry. But what... You already spoke a little bit about what influenced you to go into the mm-hmm. industry, but we'd love to know who also your favorite comic writer, artist, and characters are.
That's a tough question, man. Especially because, as you probably know, at the store, you know, when you're at the store, people always ask, like, oh, what's your favorite comic book?
Yeah.
And, but I always answer, I'm like, oh, it changes week to week because uh-huh, there's so much stuff that comes out.
I mean, same.
Yeah. Was he a writer? I mean, I've always been a big Superman guy. Like, that was the first comic book I ever followed. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that book a lot when I was a kid because he had four titles. They were four monthly titles. So essentially you were getting a Superman book a week.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. Like, to me, it was like, oh, a new comic book every week, you know.
You know, that does explain why they have 5 million X-Men titles.
Yeah, right.
I never thought of it like that. Like that. You're basically getting an X-Men book a week instead of a month.
Yeah.
Wow, that's, yeah.
Yeah, so that was always fun. As far as writers, I'm a big Grant Morrison fan.
Mm,
like, I love Grant Morrison. Like, literally, whatever he's working on, I'm on that book.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Jeff Lemire.
He's great.
He's really good. I mean... He doesn't do a lot anymore, but like Jeff Johns, I really enjoy that guy's work, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote a lot of the modern iconic storylines for DC and stuff. And now he's directing their movies, and that might explain why Shazam was good.
Yeah, he does a lot of production stuff. Like, you see his name on, like, the shows.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I haven't gotten around to watching it, but apparently he was the executive producer of Lucifer.
I did enjoy Lucifer mm-hmm. while it was coming out, but it wasn't like a Sandman Lucifer, like show Lucifer. It was just like, if you had read the comic, it almost had no similarities.
Yeah.
It was literally a buddy cop show who one of the buddies just happened to be Satan.
Yeah.
And hot. Hot Satan.
Hot Satan. Exactly.
Yeah, because I think he wrote the pilot. And I think that's the only one I watched.
Okay.
The only episode I watched, yeah.
But I did enjoy it. It was
yeah, it's fun.
I fell off, but I enjoyed what I watched.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to watch it.
Oh, my God.
Sarah is our resident Sandman aficionado, lover of all things. And so I can imagine that it was
hurt
like...
my heart.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was very hurtful.
Yeah, but was it good? Yeah, it was a Good Omens. Looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that looks great. Ooh. That looks really great.
I gotta
great.
Check that out.
Yeah. I have to check that one out, too. Where's it coming out?
It's Stars, right?
Is it Stars?
Or is
it
AMC? I can't.
It might be Amazon, I think.
Amazon. Oh,
nice.
So what's my password? You're fine.
Wait, I didn't say that.
I'll steal someone's Prime.
Yeah. I can't wait for that one. That looks good. But
there's so many kind of especially running a store, you kind of have to try to read everything.
Which is difficult when you're running a store.
Yeah.
I tell everyone the number one way to ensure you don't have time to read comics is to own a comic book shop.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, there's times when, like, you know, I'm at the store really late just because I'm caught reading.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I'm like, oh, crap, it's 11 or whatever, you know. Like, But one of my favorite books, I don't know if you ever read Planetary.
Warren Ellis.
Yeah, that's really good. I really enjoy that book a lot. And I love the fact that even though he's rebooting the Wildstorm universe for DC right now,
uh-huh.
I think there was an interview where he said that he'll never reboot Planetary. Because it doesn't make sense. He goes, it doesn't make sense to reboot those characters. You know?
Plus, it's my book.
Exactly, yeah.
That's so cool.
So what about artists?
Yeah, I was just
artists. Oh man, you know what I really love right now is Jorge Jimenez.
What does he do?
He's doing Justice League right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He was on Superman for a little while. Okay. What else did he do? I think he did Super Sons for a little bit.
That's where I know the name from then. Yeah. Okay.
He did Adventures of the Super Sons, I think, as well.
Uh-huh.
He did Super
Sons. Yeah, I think he did the original series. And then, it's funny, like, I ended up, I noticed his stuff on Earth 2 Society.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And the funny thing was, that book, I was reading it and I fell off. And then
it wasn't good.
Yeah, it was all right, you know. And so I remember thinking like, it's all right. So then, I found a set and I didn't know when I had fallen off. So I just reread the whole thing in one sitting. And then, and literally after I did that, I was like, oh, Jorge Jimenez is my favorite artist. You know, like,
yeah. I mean, that's
pretty cool.
But yeah, no, he's
solid.
Yeah. I mean, in this classic, I mean, I love, was it like Ed McGuinness and Tim Sale and stuff like that? A big guy I really like was Jeff Smith, but yeah, I wish he did more. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's cool. Run it by me. What does he do again?
He did Bone.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. His stuff is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Never mind. I do know who that is. I just needed a refresher.
So, Comadres y Comics our idea was to highlight the Latinx influence mm-hmm. in the comic book industry as creators, writers, and artists, and to promote the diversity in characters in the comic book industry. Tell us what drove you to do the Still Like Cape. Mm-hmm. What were some of the struggles and what were some of the highlights of doing that?
Yeah, so basically I run the Cape with a committee of about, I think we're in total about eight.
Okay.
And everyone in the group has either lives in East LA, grew up in East LA, or has some kind of connection to it. Like, I grew up in East LA. I still live there now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I live, like, three blocks from where we have the show.
Oh, wow. Yeah, nice.
That's awesome.
So, you have that chicharron burrito whenever you want. Oh, yeah, whenever.
Right? We, like, in the bread, the conchas. Yes. From, like, yeah. All the time.
Their café de olla. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not even going to be at the convention. I'm just going to be next door. Like, eating my face out.
And so, yeah, so like I said, like, once I paid off the store, you know, it was something that me and a bunch of friends were always talking about. Because I remember growing up, you know, so the big thing about the Cape was always that we didn't want to have, like, a big convention. Like, there's nothing bad about bigger conventions, but I just feel like they're not mm-hmm. the way I remember them when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
And, like, literally when we decided to do the Cape, one of the things we wanted to do was, like, have it in a hotel ballroom.
Right? That's definitely right. Old school.
That's 100% old school.
But we couldn't find a hotel in East LA that had a ballroom. Right?
They're like, do you want to rent it by the hour?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You're telling me you couldn't use a salon or something?
I know. And so it was always the idea. Like, anything would... See, the thing was that when you... And then we just called, and it's funny because people were like, oh, you tried to rip off Comic-Con. But like, no, we called it that because we just thought that's what you call it. Yeah. You know?
Right, right. Yeah.
That's what a lot of people have called it.
Exactly.
Bigger or small.
Yeah, and the thing was, so the idea was always like, oh, we wanted to make it about comics. You know, it wasn't, because we got approached, especially the first year, over like these like TV studios wanting to send like local talent. And we're like, no, it has nothing to do with comics, though, you know. And then they're like, but you know, you'll get a crowd. I'm like, we're not selling tickets, so right, I mean, it doesn't matter, like, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was always a thing. And then I remember, it was like about 5-10 years ago, someone put on an art show, and it was called East LA Comic Con. And me and my friends were like, oh, they beat us to it. Mm-hmm. And then it was an art show. It didn't even happen. So there was always the idea, like, oh, we gotta do it now. And so we just decided to do it. And then it was difficult because we branded it East LA, mm-hmm. there isn't a lot of places you can have a show like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot
in East LA.
Yeah, in East LA, right? Like, there's a lot of halls, but the parking sucks in East LA.
Oh, my
like,
God, yes.
So it was real difficult to find somewhere. And I remember at one point, we didn't think it was going to happen. Mm. And then I totally forgot about the Elgato Plaza. And that was a place that I lived down the street from for forever. And then I don't remember it, but my parents were like, that place used to be a mortuary.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Keeping it goth.
Nice.
So I don't remember that. My mom was like, oh, we went to funerals there. I'm like, really?
Interesting. And we're learning so much today.
And the crazy thing about the plaza is that it was a mortuary and they turned it into this event hall. Like Los Lobos played there one year.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so they have a lot of little things. And so then we were like, oh, we found the place. And then it just went from there.
So were the owners of El Gallo like hesitant, or were they all in, or like was there some kind of did you have to convince them?
Yeah, because I think what happened was that was another problem, was that we found places that might have worked, but then when we tell them, oh, we're doing this, they're like, we don't get it. Like, you know, a lot of people didn't understand. Mm-hmm. I remember once we found this like dance studio and we were like, this could work. And then we talked to the owners and they were into it. And then when we told them what it was, they were like, okay. And then I remember like it seemed like it was going to happen. And then we got a call one night saying, oh, we don't think that's appropriate for our venue.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. No, my gosh.
And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I don't understand. Why not? And, you know, like, and so, yeah, it was a little difficult. Like, because there's never been a comic book show in East LA. Yeah. So it was just,
no one knew what you were trying to do.
Yeah. And that was another scary part was when we decided to do this. I mean, to me, if 100 people came, I would consider it a success.
Right.
You know, like, that to me was like, well, it didn't matter. As long as people came out, it was fine.
Right.
And a lot of people in the committee were like, oh, no, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be. And I was just like, I don't know. We'll see. Right. And it just blew me away when we announced the first one and how crazy it blew up. Like,
yeah, almost it was instantaneous. Amazing. Yeah. Oh my god!
And we're like, what is going on? Like, you know, like.
So the people at El Gallo didn't really know what to expect.
No.
You guys didn't really know what to expect. So what did you think after that first event?
You know.
And it went until like 5 or 6, and still at 5 or 6 o'clock, the line was down the street.
Yeah.
That was terrifying.
I mean, I noticed that you guys were taking count of the people that were leaving and then putting people inside. Mm-hmm. So, like, you guys kept track of the capacity of people in attendance, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
But what propelled you also to make it free, a free event?
That was the whole thing. I think that was the big that's something that I always talk about. Because like, we started teaming up with other organizations, and they're always like, oh, you can charge tickets. I'm like, no. That's the whole point of it. Is I think, one, it's like it encourages families.
Right.
It encourages the kids. Because a lot of times, you know, like, people want to go, you know, the kids want to go to these shows.
Yes.
And these families can't afford to take the whole family to this thing, you know? And so, so that's one thing. And the other thing we wanted to do was, we figured if we're not charging admission, then the people have money to spend at the vendors.
Oh, true.
And that
kind of
helps out these like local artists as well, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, that was the whole idea. And on top of that, I think it's like, because we're in unincorporated Los Angeles, if we don't charge, we don't have to get certain permits. So that helps.
That's cool.
That helps a little bit. You know?
That's so cool.
But that's the whole thing. We really pushed the whole family-friendly aspect of it. You know,
it was very cool to see from our perspective that first year and from last year as well. Though the extended family that came by, like it was the little kid with their parents, but also abuelo and abuelita were there.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, they had never held a comic book in their life, had never, you know, really had care to want to see a comic book, but were like being introduced to them.
Yeah.
And I think that the access that you're providing to the community is amazing.
Absolutely.
That was the whole thing too. We really wanted to make this a community event, you know, and then make it something where it was, like I said, like it's the old school comic book conventions when, like if I could have a banquet hall, I would use the banquet hall. You know, like, I got a mortuary, so I guess we got. You know.
That's so cool.
And it's funny, we had this one cosplayer. He dresses like Wreck-It Ralph.
And he
always messages me, and he's like, is it still at the mortuary? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, he's like, oh, am I going?
Oh.
I'm like, really? Why? And he goes like, it scares me. It creeps me out. And
really?
I'm like, all right.
It doesn't even look like a mortuary.
Yeah.
It looks like a rundown church.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Like that, I have to double check, but I think that building turned 100 this year.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, just the sheer, like, when you first walked in the first year, mm-hmm. and it was this, like, hallway, and now I can kind of see the mortuary aspects of it. It's that specific, like, the entrance.
I feel like that first room off to the right with the stage is, like, where they presented mm-hmm. the bodies. Oh, yeah.
If you go in that room, there's these little, like, cutouts into the wall for the candles. And there's like these faded paintings of saints on there. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's really cool.
I remember the first time we did the walkthrough, I noticed like the main hall is like, I'm like, this is a really wide hall. Mm-hmm. And the lady's like, yeah, the coffins need to fit.
You know, that does explain the halls more wide. Yeah.
Well, the first year, everybody fit into the plaza itself.
Yeah.
But then you expanded into the parking mm-hmm. lot area the second year, and it was still full. Yeah. And I saw on your Facebook that you were turning people away even still that wanted to participate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just from one year to the next, you almost doubled in size.
Yeah, literally. I think the first year we were like at almost 60 vendors. Mm-hmm. And then the second year we were like 90 something.
Wow.
So it doubled. Yeah, there were still a lot of people coming through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was really cool. I think it's like, but we always have this kind of jinx where, like, the first year it was really hot. I don't remember.
Oh, yes. God. Yeah, sure. Yes. We remember. We will never forget. Very hot.
But we were lucky because we were in the room that actually had air conditioning.
Yeah.
And some of the other people were not as lucky. Yeah. But, yeah. And even then, and we even say that spoke so true mm-hmm. to the fact that people in that community were so hungry for this kind of cultural mm-hmm. like experience that they'd never had before. Cause it was hot AF. And those people stood in that line mm-hmm. out there all day in that sun waiting to get in.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And then last year we extended outside and it rained in the morning.
No, I love that weather. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it drizzled. At least it stopped. Yeah. I was just telling Sarah to earlier before you came, I hope it doesn't rain. She's like, no, I loved it.
Yeah.
And I was here like, I don't know.
Yeah.
As long as I get my burrito, we're fine.
There you go. Right? There you go. But yeah, though, people have talked about like moving to a bigger venue and everything, but I'm just like, you know what? I don't think we need to right now. I really don't feel like it's like, I think, I don't want to mess up the momentum either. I think like it's literally like these people, like, there's people that come to the show, they live behind the venue.
Right.
I think that's something really cool. You know?
I think that's really cool too. I mean,
keeping it local.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. My Gaia Plaza talk already happened.
Yeah. Natural shift.
The thing was, actually, I didn't finish telling the story. So, yeah, so they were iffy about having us there at the Gaia Plaza. Uh-huh. Like, the owners were just kind of, I didn't meet the owner until the day of the show.
Oh, wow.
Like, he would send his daughter to, like, just kind of deal with everything. And they were just like, all right, we don't know. And then and then I remember, like, he had given me a quote for how much it was going to be to rent the place. And it was, like, way more than I thought it was going to be. And so I told him, I was like, oh, I think we could do this. And so he was, the daughter was like, well, what would work? And so I thought, like, it wasn't going to happen at this point. So I was like, about half. And then, like 2 days later, she's like, all right, we'll do it.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, cool, right? So we did it. And then, the dad was just kind of like, you know, he was just kind of like, well, whatever. I'm getting paid for whatever. It doesn't matter. And then the day before the event, we were like setting up the tables and everything. And then I met him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, I heard you on the radio the other day. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he goes, yeah, you were on so-and-so, a lot of those radio shows.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, no, that wasn't me. That was this guy. And he was like, you're on the radio, too? And he's all, and I'm like, yeah. And he goes, he's like, there's going to be a lot of people coming to this, right? I'm like, maybe. I don't know. And it was so funny because every time we met with the manager of this place, there was this guy. I don't know who he was. But he would always sit in on the meetings, and he never said anything. And every time we ever asked, like, you know, like,
he was one of the corpses.
Yeah.
Right. He's the body double for the corpses.
And anytime we asked the manager, we were like, oh, can we do this? And she didn't have an answer. She'd walk over and she'd like talk to him in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd be like, yeah, whatever, right? Yeah. And then, but he never spoke to me. And then I remember thinking like, oh, maybe he doesn't speak English. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the day of the show, when we had the huge crowd, all of a sudden he comes up behind me. He's like, hey, buddy. Like, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I didn't know what this guy's voice sounded like.
That's so cool.
But yeah, so they were real hesitant. Like, yeah. Cause they were just like, they didn't know what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they were just like, we do quinceañeras and weddings and that's it. Like, yeah. You know, like,
so how did they feel about the second year?
The second year, it's funny, they went from being iffy on it to being like super confident.
Awesome.
Cause they were, no, but too much though, cause they were like, oh, I know so-and-so.
Now you're gonna pay us three times.
Yeah. Yeah, cause they were like, I know so-and-so, and we can close the street, and we can.
Oh,
oh wow.
And I was like, wow. I'm like, okay. And then he's like, goes, and we can get an inflatable building, and I'm like, I don't know what that is, but okay. And he was going on and on, and then I was like, wait, how much does it cost to close the street? And he's all like, only like $20,000. I'm like, only? Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. I think we're good. I mean, like, you know, like,
we're not charging anyone to get in.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Still over budget.
Yeah. So it was just, but yeah, they were real common. And this year they're just kind of like, all right, do your thing. You know, we're not going to get involved. Yeah. And like, you know, yeah. Like,
awesome. So each year you have artwork mm-hmm. for the convention. This year you brought us a poster, mm-hmm. which looks amazing. It's really representative about the expo itself, and you also have T-shirts,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Who designed this year's expo poster?
The poster is really cool. So there's an artist named Valeria Anteveros.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually the artist I'm working with Miguel on the Gordo.
Oh, book. Cool.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
The poster is really cool because the poster. It was an idea I've had forever. Basically what it is, it's a group of characters, that are all creator owned mm-hmm. for people that are at the show.
That is amazing.
And it was funny because the whole thing with that was, I always had that idea and I wanted to do that, but it was always like kind of like, I was worried because I'm like, oh, we have to talk to like a bunch of people and get them to sign off on everything. And so it was always a back and forth. Like the first year I wanted to do that and we didn't have the cred to do that yet, right? Yeah. I mean, Javier was like, yeah, do whatever you want. It's fine. But everyone else, we had to, like, you know. And so I remember, like, this year, I thought about it. And I was like, you know, let's try it. And so I reached out to Fanbase Press
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
we really like that Kingston book. Like, you know,
that's great.
Yeah. So I reached out to them and I asked, like, oh, could we use that character for the poster? And I didn't hear back for, like, a couple of days. So I remember thinking, like, oh, it's not going to happen. All right, it's fine. And then I think it was like a Sunday morning. They sent me an email and they were like, yeah, it's fine. You can do it. And I was like, oh crap. And so then, and so luckily I had a meeting for the book with Valeria. And I was like, all right, we're going to do this now. I need you to work on this. And the funny thing was everyone else, I already knew all the other artists. So we didn't ask permission. We just did it.
I love it.
And then and then literally that night after I had the sketch, I emailed them individually. I'm like, so we did a thing. Like, is this cool? Like, you know, like, and luckily everyone was like, oh yeah, that's awesome. Like, you know, like,
so I recognize, El Muerto mm-hmm. and, Lupe, and then your character. Mm-hmm. I haven't read the book yet, but I saw the cover.
Yeah.
And then the one in the back, is that Samurai-achi?
Okay.
And then I don't know the woman with the hatchet or the little bunny.
So the woman that I don't remember her name. It's killing me right now. But it's from a book called The Good, the Bad, and the Bunny.
Oh, God.
And so she did that book, and then the bunny. His name is Dr. Lechuga. And he's a creation by my friend, Floro Monstro. He's done a bunch of zines and stuff.
Oh,
and
okay,
yeah,
cool.
So we thought, like, you know, like, let's mix it up and throw his character in there too. You know?
Oh my God.
That is so cool. Dr.
Lechuga.
Are they available to purchase? What kind of merchandise will you be having too?
So we're going to have, so unfortunately, we can't sell the poster, but what we're going to be doing is we made some prints, And so we're gonna have other stuff. And if you purchase the shirt or something, you can get a poster.
Oh, cool. Wow. That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah, so, but we do have a shirt this year, and it was designed by Javier Hernandez.
Ooh.
Well, listeners will not be able to see it, but you can show us it right here. And, yeah. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's really awesome.
This is so awesome. We're going to take a picture later, but it's super definitely. Cool. Yeah, super cool.
And, you know, so like, I've known him for a while, and it's funny because this image was originally for a comic cover that we were gonna work on something together.
Oh, okay.
And then it kind of fell through, and we had that artwork, and I was like, let's make this a t-shirt. Like, let's just, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And so we're going to have that, and then we made some stickers with a logo this year.
Oh, cool.
We have some souvenir badges.
Oh, cool.
That's the bad part about a free show is that, you know, people want badges.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So we have some souvenir badges, and all the stuff that all the souvenir stuff that we make, it basically goes to kind of keep the show for free. Keep the show free. You
right,
know?
Yeah.
And paying them the little odds and ends of things, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff you don't realize that there's, you know.
Yeah.
The cost of it, yeah. Do you still have shirts left over from the previous two shows?
We have shirts from last year, but not the first year. The first year, those went so quick. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Oh, it's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because someone sent me a link. Someone was selling the shirt from the first year on eBay for $80.
What? Oh my god.
You made it now.
So I thought it was funny, and then when I tried to send it to the group, like, they took it down.
Oh,
like, someone took it. And then someone tried to sell tickets to the show.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
They made a posting saying that they had 6 tickets for sale.
That's hilarious.
I almost called. Because he said you'd only accept reasonable offers.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I almost called to see what a reasonable offer was. You know?
Wow. Yeah. That's great. Now you made it.
That's it.
Right. Yeah, that's people so scalping funny. Tickets to your free event.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Most definitely.
So, this is the 4th episode that we've done of the Last Black Cast.
Yes.
So now we can say that it is, we do have a tradition
here. Okay.
In Comadres y Comics Las Platicas, that you must share your chisme de la semana.
Okay.
So, what industry news has you excited or bummed out this week? Or do you know some industry news that you would like to share?
I
or that you can share?
Yeah.
Or even, what are your vecinos doing in your neighborhood?
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Looking, and with your shop and the shoes that are in front of you.
That's so weird.
You know what? We'll take that too.
Okay. You know, that's actually kind of weird, but I'll tell you about that. So I have these neighbors, like, my shop is next to a barber shop.
Uh-huh.
And I have the weirdest neighbors. Like, when they first moved in there, they told me, because like, when I moved in there, there was this 90 there was this 90-year-old guy running that shop. Like, he was an old guy, but he was still spry and everything. Mm-hmm. So he decided to retire. And so this couple took it over. And the day I met them, they were like, oh yeah, we're moving in here. And they looked at the store and like, this is a nice shop. Like, how much for you to leave?
No way.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm good.
How much for you to leave?
Yeah.
That sounds so ominous.
Right.
Like, they're gonna run you out if you say no. So have they tried anything?
Not really. I mean, like, here and there, like, I you mentioned the shoes. That was so weird. One day I came in and, there was just all these shoes in front of the store. And I was like, I don't know. It creeped me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this a threat? Like, you know, like, I don't understand. You know?
What am I supposed to feel about
this?
Yeah. Wow. Oh,
how many pairs of shoes or just random shoes?
No, it was a bunch of pairs of shoes. It was like a good, like, 6 or 7 pairs of shoes. It was weird.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Were they all matching or were they all like...
No, they're matching. Yeah.
Matching shoes. You could have taken those.
I know, I thought about it, right?
That's ominous. I love it.
That's so weird. It's so weird. Yeah, the store is in this little area called the San Gabriel Village.
Okay.
And so it's one of those places that was like really big in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you look at it, it looks like... Like, they had street fairs, like, in the sand lot there, you know, like, and the thing that's crazy about that area is that apparently, because in front of the store, there's these really wide streets, and the San Gabriel historian told me that like, I don't know how long ago, they used to land airplanes.
Oh my gosh.
Like right there.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And that's why the streets are so wide.
That's oh, wow. funny. Yeah.
Wow.
And, it, and we're, I always joke about how like we're a neighborhood comic book store because literally there's houses around us.
Uh-huh.
You know, so yeah. it's weird, but you know, I tend to do things that are weird. So
that's cool. Speaking about the comic shop, and mm-hmm. I've never been there because it just, you always have really cool events, mm-hmm. but it always just seems like so far to go from Torrance or Santa Monica. But one day I'm going to make it out there. But as far as the community there mm-hmm. in your neighborhood, like, have you seen an increase of, like with the movies and mm-hmm. all that stuff, of people who never used to read comic books yeah. before, but actually start wanting to come in and learn?
A little bit, you know, and it was, I think it always happens. I think like whenever a movie comes out,
yeah.
I think actually more when a movie's announced, I think a lot of people come in, they're like, what is this thing?
Yeah.
You know, they
yeah.
want to like, find out about it. But what really helped was after we did the first Cape, the city of San Gabriel reached out to me.
Oh, nice.
And now I help them do a street comic show.
Yes, yeah. I've seen that. Yeah, yeah that's and, awesome.
And that is cool.
Another thing that I was like, oh, that's awesome, but that's far.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really weird to go. It's like Thursday nights.
Yeah.
That's a city ordinance thing. I don't understand it, uh-huh. but yeah, we've done like two of those already, and we're doing another one on August 1st.
Oh, cool.
And but that really helped because that really helps a lot. Because it's surprising, it's a Thursday night show, but there's a lot of families, a lot of kids and stuff yeah. come out, and we've been getting more like people like finding out the store's there, mm-hmm. you know, and so that really helps. I think with the movies, it's weird. I think like before the movie comes out, people get into it, but I think the biggest problem, I mean, you could talk about this too, is that people go and watch these movies, and then the comic books are nothing like the movies,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
they get all disappointed, yeah. like, you know.
Makes
yeah.
sense.
Makes sense. Perfect. Yeah, sense. We get either disappointment or we get people who are like, oh my god, there's so much more.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
yeah.
Well, here on our podcast, we have a segment called On My Radar where mm-hmm. we talk about what is on our radar, like books, mm-hmm. movies, shows. What is on your radar?
You know what? I'm really looking forward to the Jonathan Hickman's taking over X-Men.
Yes, yeah, I've heard about that.
I'm really looking forward to that. I'm curious where they're gonna go with that.
Interesting.
Yeah,
because I did like Secret War mm-hmm. that he did.
Yeah.
The thing is, he can be a little bit long-winded.
Yeah, like, it goes a while.
Yeah, like, I'm just wrap it up, my dude. Just
yeah,
wrap it
yeah.
up. You could have ended this 2-3. Like that was one of the big problems with Secret War is mm-hmm. just that they kept adding
yeah.
to it, and it was great. I really yeah. liked. I liked his story. I liked all the side series that came out
yeah.
of it. But in the end, I was just like, stop talking. Big fight scene.
I think he famously said that he stretched it out because he didn't know how to end it.
Yeah.
Oh. He had no idea how to end the book.
Yeah. You know?
That's funny.
His forte is definitely long stories.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
I think he struggles with the short yeah. story.
Because he always, like, he'll take over a book and then create another book. Because
yeah.
the one book is not, can't contain the story.
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that's really big. I'm looking forward to that. Like, and they also, Ecstatics is coming back.
Mm.
Mike Allred is going to be working on that. That looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a big DC guy, so I'm really enjoying what Bendis is doing over at DC.
Yeah, and yeah. right now you're talking, and all I hear is, like, in the peanuts, wah, 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 because I am not a DC person.
No.
Although, I do enjoy the Bendis stuff. The,
yeah.
What is the...
Superman.
No, the...
Which
oh,
one?
The...
His,
oh, Pearl?
His imprint that he's doing at...
Jinx.
No.
The Wonder Comics?
Yes, there you go. Yeah, thank yeah. you. Oh, okay. Wonder Comics.
yeah. I thought you meant other ones, like Cover and
Pearl. I'm enjoying all of those.
Yeah, those are really good.
Yeah.
Those are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, this is like, that's the cool thing about like ordering comics, because you see all this stuff that's going to come out.
And right,
it's like,
you know, yeah. and you get excited about it 3 months ahead.
Yeah.
yeah. And then you forget about it, and then mm-hmm. it comes out.
And you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, you didn't ask me, Sarah, but I have to say, every time that they release a little extra of that Swamp Thing TV show that's going to come out on DC Plus streaming, oh my gosh.
Yes.
It looks so amazing.
Yeah, we definitely have to subscribe somehow.
I know.
That is my favorite streaming service right now. Like,
really?
It's so good. Like, really? It's all the shows on there have been really good.
Batwoman's going to come out soon, too.
I was adamant that I was not going to get, well, DC was not on my radar at all. I was like, I don't need to order any of that, but I was adamant I wasn't going to give Disney Plus any of my money.
Gosh,
but they keep coming up with things too that I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to watch that. And oh my gosh, that too. And so, and I have been hearing so many good things about the DC streaming service as well.
The Doom Patrol show is just amazing.
I've heard,
so good.
I've heard,
very tempted.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's not that bad either. Cause I think it's like...
It's like $7.99 or something.
Yeah, I think you can get it for like $70 a year.
Yeah,
oh, that's good.
They knock off some...
If you do it all at once.
All at once. They have that special at San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
At the DC booth. So, yeah, maybe I'll... Because I'm going to Comic-Con, I think, on Thursday, so I may look into it.
I'm ready to see what prices DC is going to be coming out, how they're going to freaking gouge me for my money. Or whether I can be like, I only want to watch one series.
Yeah.
I can pay for one series, not all of it. I don't care about the Black Widow one. I do care about the Bucky Sam one.
Yeah, so I'm interested in Hawkeye and also What If.
Yeah. What if?
Yeah,
really
I forgot
cool.
the What If one. Yeah. What if we figured out our own story?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was the same boat. I didn't want to get that Disney Plus thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but then the more and more they release, I'm like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
I kind of need this. So, like, oh, like,
yeah.
It's more of a need than a want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You gotta find a way to like, cause I was joking around that like I should be able to write off the DC.
Write it off as a research.
Yeah, right. It's like I'll have it streaming in the store. Right. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm using it for work.
That would be super cool. Actually, that's a great idea. That's a really great idea.
Like, and it's funny. It's like little things like that. You gotta figure out. Like, I didn't realize for the first like 2-3 years owning the store that you could the Free Comic Book Day, the cost of the book is advertising.
Oh yeah.
Like I remember telling another friend of mine that owned the store, and I was like, oh, that's, you know, it's so expensive. And he's like, dude, it's advertising. Write that off. And I'm like, you can do that. And I was like, it's like little things like that. Like you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's tons of things that I think that you could probably write off and utilize, just as long as you stamp your thing on it. There you go.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
That's funny. So we have a segment also on our podcast called Juntos y Fuertes, mm-hmm. where we like to show support and love for members of marginalized groups within the comic community. And so we've discussed groups like Asian American Comic mm-hmm. Convention or the Puerto Rican comic creator Edgardo Miranda Rodriguez, who was raising money for the disaster relief in Puerto Rico. Is there any creator or comic or group of people that you would like to share with our listeners that you feel like could really mm-hmm. use their support?
You know what? Honestly, like I've been so busy the last couple of months that I try to keep on you know, top of stuff like that, but it's just, it's, I mean.
How about just off the list of people who are gonna be there at your show?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, is there like a project you're really excited for that you think deserves recognition?
Is there any new people coming this year?
This year, who do we have? This year, well, we have, what's his face? I can never say his name. Is it? let me find it real. But yeah, we have the co-creator of Spider-Man Noir.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. His name is Fabrice.
Fabrice?
Yes. I am terrible at names.
It's probably not his name. I'm going to call him Fabrice. Yeah, right.
So I'm terrible at names. I don't know if you could pronounce that one.
Oh, it looks like that. Fabrice Sapolsky?
Oh, yeah. Fabrice. But like that, Fabrice.
Fabrice, yeah.
But, yeah. Fabrice
Zawolski.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he worked on the original story, the Spider-Man Noir, and he designed the character.
Wow.
Nice. Wow. Wait, is he LGBT?
I'm not sure.
I'm just saying because his little picture right there so it has a rainbow and says Pride on it.
Oh.
Nice.
Oops. Yeah, so we have a lot of returning artists, excuse me, studios. The big thing that is getting a lot of attention right now is that we have a lot of members from the original Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
We have about 7 members coming in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Latinos in their wrestling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a thing. Because the first year we had Lucha Underground.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And then last year we didn't have any wrestling. And then that was the big complaint. Like, no.
Where's
the wrestler? Oh,
you know? The wrestler. We're bringing them back.
You're bringing them back. Exactly.
I mean, there's room in the back for a ring.
Yeah. Oh, no. Don't say that. There was one guy in the committee, like, he's always, we just put a ring in there.
I put a ring in there, $5 to enter the ring.
That's funny.
to enter the ring so you can throw down with whoever decides to go in.
Wow, that's
mosh pit in the ring.
Yeah. He's been trying to get a ring in the show forever, since year one.
That's funny.
And then we were at Long Beach Comic Con. And then they had a ring, and he's like, see, did you do it? And I'm like, no.
Then Kamikaze was doing some promo for Glow, and they had a ring too.
Yeah.
Come on, Peter. It's a trend.
When we close the street off, we'll get the ring.
We'll get the ring.
Well, you get the 20,000.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. $20 a ticket.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
And there's going to be a ring.
It's going to be a ring.
I love that. That's so cool.
But yeah, no, we have a lot of people this year. A lot of returning people, which is really cool. I think a lot of people that they get excited about. Like, you know, they want to come back and, you know.
Well, I have to say that this is a show that is very close to Komadasi Comics' heart because it is the very first time that we ever tabled.
Yeah.
We were a brand new podcast, and I was
only
like,
have like 10 episodes.
We didn't have that many. No.
It was like 5.
Yeah,
because I was like, what are we doing? Like, how are we gonna? I mean, what are we gonna sell? Like, we're just gonna stand there like. Listen to us.
We figured it out.
Yeah, it was great.
Before going to that convention, we struggled with trying to complete a comprehensive list of Latino creators and characters
content.
And content. And we were just focusing on the big two. We were like, okay, there's some that exist, but it's so little, and what are we going to do? And Sarah was like, we're going to run out. What are we going to do after that? And when we tabled at at your convention, our eyes were just completely opened to the indie community of Latino creators, and it was just amazing, and I think that it really opened the door for us to just like consume everything we could, and there was just so much out there, people that had been doing it for years. And so I definitely always tell everybody, this is like our favorite show to do. It's the one that kind of started us off. And last but not least, it's across the street from this amazing restaurant that serves the best breakfast burritos, and they have a chicharron burrito that everyone was raving about, so much so that last year I went to get one and they were sold out.
Maybe you want to let them know, hey, you got to stock up
because the
event's coming.
Make extra chicharron.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think especially like the first year, they didn't expect it. They didn't know it was going to happen. You know?
So that's all to say that, I mean, you're doing so much for the Latinx community.
For the community itself.
Yeah, and for the Latinx comic community.
Yes.
And, you know, we highlight Latinos as creators, characters, and fans, and I think that's exactly what you are doing with your convention. And thank you so much for everything that you're doing, and you know the East LA community itself. I think you're doing so much for them as well.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, it's so amazing. And hearing you talk about it, damn, it's really awesome.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, there's a lot of work, but at the end of the day, it's a lot of fun, you know? It's like, that Sunday, like, my legs aren't working. I'm like, no,
you're but like, it's fine. Just like, leave me here. Yeah, pretty much. Bring me food and water.
Thank you so much for your time today and for coming out talk with us and talk about the show. Is there anything else you would like to share regarding East LA Cape?
No, I mean, the thing is, like, so all the social media is at East LA Cape. Mm-hmm. We've been announcing guests and artists and all week. We're gonna be announcing some panel stuff soon.
There's gonna be panels this year. Yay. Yeah.
What?
That's something new.
That is new.
I didn't even think about that. I should have mentioned
that. That should have been your cheeseman.
Yeah, I know. So we're doing panels this year. It's kind of an experiment because we've never done panels before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're gonna see if it works. We had one hall that, like, it really wasn't working for people to, to bend in.
Oh, the small one? The one on the side?
Yeah, with the right on the,
So, where they probably had, like, coffins on
the side? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's a step down into it, right? Yeah.
No, the one next to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we're doing that. So we're having panels in there. It's kind of scary to think, but, like, you know, we're about a week from Saturday. We haven't finalized those panels yet, so that's kind of why we haven't really announced anything yet. But I think the only way we know for sure is we have a cosplay contest. Santos is going to be a judge.
Monkey Monsters cosplay is going to be there, and Santos Medrano is going to be there with his brand new son Milo, and they are going to be cosplaying together. He hasn't released or announced what it's going to be. You have to come to show up to find out what it is. And Milo was like six or seven months old. And if you don't, if you're not familiar with Monkey Monsters cosplay, they are the couple who cosplay Han Solo and Princess Loca.
They're so cool.
Yeah, that was such a cool thing too, because I remember when we were working on the show, they went viral. They blew up, and then when we announced the show, a couple of days later, Santos just like, "Hey, it's Han Solo." I'm like, "What?" So I thought that was really cool. Like, you know, he had reached out to us, and then, you know, we kind of set that up. We've been cool. Like, I've been on his podcast, we've hung out here and there, and it's really cool.
My husband and I knew Santos from back when he had his podcast, Brothers Bear Podcast, he invited Eddie to be on the podcast, and he said, bring your wife with you. And so that's actually how we met. And so we knew him way before even they did their before they started Monkey Monsters, before he even met Julia, actually.
Oh, wow.
Really? Wow.
That seems like a long time ago.
I know. I know. But, Latinos and people of color in cosplay is something that's really, growing up now, too.
Most definitely.
Oh, yeah, because of all the cosplayers that are doing blackface.
No. Actual people of color who are cosplaying.
Never mind, we hang out in different social circles. That's a current thing right now, that people of color cosplayers are telling white cosplayers don't do blackface.
Right. Yes.
And of course, white cosplayers aren't paying attention.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's just totally blowing up. I mean, I remember when, what was it? The Mexican Wonder Woman came out. Mm-hmm. That was really big. And then all of a sudden we have Thanos with the chancla. So, I mean, there's a lot of good cosplay out there. Yeah. People have been very imaginative.
I was going to say, people are so creative. Like, when I see it, I'm like, that is amazing and it's perfect. And I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I saw a bunch of pictures from when they did the Latino Expo in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And you see some of those people that cosplay, you're like, this is awesome. Yeah. Like, you know, like, because I think Coco had just come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of that. And it was just like, it's really cool, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what people come up with for the contest for
it should be
East LA Cape.
It should be interesting. You know? Because we have this weird, like, we have a weird history with cosplayers when it comes to the cape, because I remember the first year, there was this guy, he was really into it, and he was dressed up like Spider-Man.
Oh, wow.
And we had to keep telling him, because he tried to climb the walls. And we're like, no, stop doing that.
I think I remember seeing him on the brick wall out front.
Next to the dude
selling the t-shirts out of his cart.
Have you thought of having, like, vendors come in and, like, I know you had this little kid he was so cool. He sold us soda and chips and stuff. But have you thought about having, like, eloteros and paleteros
So the whole thing is that the owners of that venue, they own, like...
The whole block.
Pretty much. Yeah. So that was a big thing with them. They were like, oh, we can't do food trucks, can't do this. Can't. Oh. So officially we can't. But people have reached out, oh, I have a hot dog thing, right? And I'm like, I can't tell you to come. I can't tell you, myself,
But if you're
just
here.
Just keep walking back and forth.
If you show up, there's nothing I can do about it.
It's a free event. Yeah. What can I say?
That's why the little kid you were talking about, that's the grandson of the owner.
Oh, really? He was totally adorable.
Yeah, and he was so shy at first, but then by the end of the day, he was like yelling and like dancing and singing and selling so much. Yeah.
He was like, you know, you want another Coke.
Yeah.
You know.
He was
I
a
got a
salesman.
Cold one. Yeah. At first he's like just, you know, really quiet. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, he was all this, you know, he was really cool.
Yeah.
So, East LA Cape is, like you said, a little bit more than a week away.
Yeah.
Saturday, June 1st, it is free, mm-hmm. free. East LA Cape is East LA Comic Art and Pop Culture Expo, and it is being held at El Gallo Plaza at 4545 East Cesar Chavez Avenue in East LA. You can find out more information at www.eastlacape.com, and you can find them on all of the social medias at East LA Cape.
Mm-hmm. And please remember, come for the comics, stay for the chicharrón.
There you go.
So thank you so much again for coming. I am very excited for this.
It's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah.
As the kids say, it's gonna be lit.
There you go.
But thank you for driving all the way down.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you so much.
And don't forget, you can still find us on Facebook at Comic Comadres.
And on Twitter at Comic Comadres.
You can email us at comadresycomics@gmail.com. And also, we try to upload a lot of videos and stuff on Instagram and on Snapchat of the events we attend. So...
Yep.
Will you be having the Snapchat filter?
Yes.
Oh, yay.
We'll have that, yeah.
Nice.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much.
We have in your house, I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye.
Bye.